Physical security.
No, I did information security.
Did you too?
Yeah. Well, for computer-aided dispatch and mobile data systems.
I'd like to call the Kaiser Planning Commission meeting for Wednesday, January 9th to order. Let's start with the swearing in of a new commissioner, Jeffrey Watson. Shannon, would you do that, please?
Thank you, Gary. Commissioner Watson, raise yourself on up and raise your right hand and repeat after me, please, for posterity.
And fun.
I, Jeffrey Watson.
I, Jeffrey Watson.
Being first duly sworn.
Being first duly sworn.
Upon oath say.
Upon oath say.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Oregon.
And the Constitution of the State of Oregon.
And that I will faithfully and impartially.
And that I will faithfully and impartially.
Discharge the duties.
Discharge the duties.
Of a planning commissioner for the City of Kaiser.
Of a planning commissioner for the City of Kaiser.
According to the best of my ability.
According to the best of my ability.
For my term of office.
For my term of office.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm going to come back to the new commissioner in just a minute, but let's move through items 3 and 4 first, please. Approval of minutes.
I make a motion to approve the minutes of November 14th, 2018.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Passes unanimously. We have no public hearing scheduled for tonight. So I'm going to digress for just a minute and allow, we have Jeffrey Watson, who's a new Planning Commission member. This is his first meeting. And Chris Christopher Wolfert, give them a minute or two just to give the rest of us a background on who they are and where they came from. So Jeff, let's start with you, please.
Sure, thank you. As the nameplate says, I'm Jeff Watson. My wife and I have lived in Kaiser for, I think, about 6 years now, going on 7. My wife was a graduate of McNary High School back in 2003, I believe, and I grew up in the Willamette Valley. But we've lived here, as I said, for 6, going on 7 years. My background is in economics. I work for the Oregon Public Utility Commission downtown. And that's what had me first interested in the Planning Commission. Stuff that is the nitty-gritty background stuff that most people don't think about, but you notice when it goes wrong. So I'm happy to be here and looking forward to providing my perspective on the matters that come before us.
Okay, well, welcome, Jeffrey. Look forward to your input. Christopher Wolfert. Chris is a student at, go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm a junior at McNary High School, and I'm also enrolled in the Career and Technical Ed program. I'm here because I want to learn, mostly, and I've grown up in Kaiser all my life, so being able to give back to Kaiser if I can would be really cool. And, I mean, that's about it. That's why I'm here.
Thank you very much. Okay, so item number 6. We're just going to fly right through this thing. Discussion. The Planning Commission role. And our role is sort of a big question mark. We deal with signs, building codes, design standards. Some is tedious and mundane, and some of it is more significant and more challenging to us to come up with things that we feel we need to recommend to the council. And I think with some of the things that are coming up right in front of us, the buildable lands inventory and the housing needs analysis is going to challenge us as a planning commission maybe to think on a bigger vision than we've had in the past. You know, we've done a lot of, I'm going to call them housekeeping things. But I think this might be an opportunity for us to ask and answer several questions, some of which the focus right now seems to be on, how are we going to move the UGB? Are we going to get bigger? Is bigger better? And I haven't heard anybody yet ask, you know, what is Kaiser? What do we want to be? Separate and distinct from, do we want to be bigger? for the sake of being big. And I think that's something we need to look at, because as we grow, if that's the right word, and I think we can grow without necessarily expanding, we have to look at how we provide jobs in our community. We have historically since, I mean, I've been here since a long time, 72, and we've always been a bedroom community. And realistically, I think we continue pretty much to be that way. There's a number of small businesses that provide jobs, although they're mostly family-based jobs and income. And then we have, you know, the grocery stores and things like that to sell us needed goods. But we don't really have a jobs base. And if we want people to have opportunities to be in our community, probably part of it is providing them or finding out a way to attract jobs. And then where do we place those jobs? You know, so I think we need to look beyond just, you know, if we're going to be 38,000 people now and in 42,000 people X amount months later, it's not just getting bigger. It's what do we want to be? What do we want to look like? What's the quality of our life going to be? You know, are we going to continue to be a bedroom community? That's fine. But we could be a bedroom community without necessarily expanding to UGB. There's thousands of cities literally across the United States that have been landlocked for decades. So I think we need to expand how we ask and answer these questions. And I think it falls to us maybe to have an opportunity to really think through this and think how we aligned with the City Council and the Citizens Action Committee and the staff to collaborate on this to really make a good picture. Because we're talking about what we're going to look like in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Some of us won't even be here for a number of reasons. So I'd like to kind of ask us to look at that, because one of the things that I looked at when I was looking through this upcoming stuff is the land use goal is number 10, which says it doesn't say we have to expand. It just says we have to provide housing. And it doesn't say we have to have everything new with new streets and parks and everything else. So we're not required to grow outside the current UGB. Not to say that we can't, but I don't think it should be an automatic. That's the thought. It's just bigger is better. Let's look at how we can define quality of life. And we have a staff that is able and willing to work with us. And I think we need to maybe rely on them a little more than we have, but rely on them with questions that we direct towards them rather than reacting to their staff reports and recommendations. And I met with Nate and Shane a week and a half ago, and we talked about this a little bit. And I'll let you go from here, Nate, but I came away with the feeling that if we have questions, concerns, or whatever, it helps them as well as us if we bring that to them, and we can bring it to them outside the meeting, an email, a phone call, whatever it might be, and then they have a chance to digest that and respond. So, Nate, would you like to add into that?
Sure. Thank you, Gary. That characterizes our conversation pretty well. I think in the past we have taken, as you know, we've taken text amendments to the development code when we want to clarify this provision and that provision, etc. But we have entered into now a phase of pretty significant work to try and gather as much information as we possibly can to set the context for the elected officials, the City Council, to be able to make decisions on some pretty important things, namely the urban growth boundary issues and our compliance with the state goals. You are, I think, our only committee, well, unless there's something in the COPS world, I don't know, but you're the only city committee that is required by state law to be in existence. And it actually lays out your membership and the kinds of people that we have to have sitting on our planning commission. So the whole point is you guys are instrumental in creating the picture that is going to be Kaiser. Now, in the past, it's been pretty easy to rely on staff to, you know, we explain those text amendments, I think, pretty clearly, and we do those kinds of things, I hope, in a way that makes a lot of sense. But this work that we're doing now and the studies that we are now engaged in, you, and I believe you all now have copies of some of the material that we're going to be discussing at our first meeting of the Citizens Advisory Committee of the Buildable Lands Inventory and Housing Needs Analysis. We live in acronym world, so they'll be referred to as the BLI and HNA. Anyway, I don't know if you've had a chance to look at your email, but there's a lot of material there. And what my absolute desire is that you, as this body, will do the heavy lifting and go through that material and make sure that you understand it and make sure that as you see things in there that are being proposed as, here's a range of options that you have before you as a city. You can choose from these options. It ranges everything from the housing mix that we want to declare as what we're pursuing, as how much multifamily versus single family. Everything to what is River Road going to be look, what is it going to look like? Are we going to eliminate two lanes of traffic and create bike lanes? Are we going to narrow the bike lane? So these kinds of things are in that material. And just really quickly, because I know it's so confusing, we have the Buildable Lands Inventory and the BLI and HNA. That basically the first committee starts on Monday, right? Monday?
Mm-hmm.
14th. We also have our Kaiser Revitalization, which is a grant, a TGM, Transportation Growth Management grant, that we were awarded to look at our corridors and try to establish what efficiency measures, what land use efficiency measures we can incorporate in our cities to generate things like more mixed use development and better utilization of those corridor properties. So you're going to see a lot of proposals come out of that as to how we can perhaps change some of the face of what Kaiser is. We just barely completed it was just a report that was a comparison of how other cities have met their growth. It was a cost of growth studies. And it took three examples of other cities and how they looked at their growth needs and how they responded to them. We hope to have a work session for the council to basically go through that final report. Council has met on that once before, just as it was being formulated in its draft. And now we have the final.
Jose, they were with us on one of those meetings, right?
Yeah, and actually, you were with us in one of those, in that work session, right? Yeah. Following on this revitalization and BLI HNA, we are going to then kick off a major transportation study to look at what are the impacts to our transportation system of growth and whether that growth is infill and we intensify our existing lands and what impact does that have on our transportation, or whether we just simply say, you know what, we're going to our urban growth boundary as it encompasses West Salem and South Salem, that growth boundary has enough to meet our land supply need. Now that obviously raises all kinds of issues, political and emotional kinds of issues. And then if we decide to expand our urban growth boundary, that's going to have a dramatic effect on our transportation system. So this next study, and we hope to have that kick off in mid-year of this year, will be the kind of the final piece of the puzzle to lay out on the table for the council and say, here's the impacts, here's what other cities have done, here's what the impact for growth would be if we do X, Y, or Z. We are now establishing what our land supply is going to be and how much land do we need. And so, basically, we are then going to be positioned to start answering some of these questions. Are we going to pursue a divorce? Are we going to expand the urban growth boundary aggressively or moderately or not at all? Are we going to be prepared for the transportation impacts? And what does that mean as far as costs and how do we meet those cost needs? Bottom line, all of that means you guys are instrumental, absolutely instrumental in digesting this information and sitting down at the table and making sure that you understand all the material that is being developed and presented so that you can make a thoughtful and responsible recommendation to the city council. You know how it goes. The city council hears from people that have an agenda, one way or the other, whatever that might be. They have their perspective, and they approach the council because the council is the one that makes those decisions. And so it's very difficult for the council to sort out, where does this all fit in the balance? Where does this fit in context with the bigger picture? And that's what your role is going to be. So as we talk about this, and I don't need to get on the soapbox too long, but as we talk about the work program, Matt, you asked earlier today, well, this looks kind of like what it did last year.
So as a point of clarification on that, I didn't have the red line version. So
that was, of course, my fault. It was the last version.
I was looking at two identical ones, so I hadn't seen the red line. So now that I've gotten the red line.
Perfect.
It looks much better.
There's not a lot of specific new items on that list as we go through that. But you'll notice that there are big holes in that list and big caveats that as these projects develop and roll forward, we're going to need your flexibility and your attention to be devoted to those work products. And those are going to be our highest priority in this coming year. Now, obviously, if something happens and we go along the way and we have to do a text amendment to Kaiser Station because we have an application, we're going to cram that in somehow. But this is as far as our goal and our projection, we want your help in grinding through all of this information. And there's, to be honest with you, there's some good stuff being generated. There's some scary stuff being generated. I'm reading some of this and I'm kind of scratching my head a bit, thinking, fasten your seatbelts, folks. When we start talking about things like access control along River Road, it's hard stuff. There's no business going to want to give up their direct access to that arterial. And it's going to be a highly contested, highly debated issue. Anyway, so with that, let me, if I can, just skip to item C on our discussion list here. What is your sensitivity to being flexible in our schedule for this coming year?
Meaning different days of the week or more meetings or what do you, or both?
All yes, all of the above. For example, we have the projected schedule is that for the week of February, the week of February 12th, which is the second week in February, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, we would regularly be scheduled for February 13th for Planning Commission. That's actually on our agenda. One of the things that's come up with our scheduling with the Revitalization Plan grant is we're having a public event on February 12th, and the way that the contract is written is after that public event, so that there can be some input given at that public event from general citizens, whoever shows up, that the consultant is to do kind of a joint meeting. We're not exactly sure what that's going to look like, if it's a real work session or something like that, but possibly a joint meeting with both Planning Commission and Council together. But because calendars are difficult, that was one where we talked about we may possibly want to strongly encourage everyone to come to the public event on the 12th, and then we may have a follow-up work session or joint meeting somewhere close to that time frame, kind of yet to be determined. But of course, we want to be sensitive to you guys and what the availability is, because obviously y'all signed up for a meeting that says, hey, we're meeting the second Wednesday of each month. So, but that's with the grants and just the schedules, there's some weirdness.
And we know you are private citizens. You have lives. You have, you know, so I could schedule you for being here every week, but we're not going to do that. But if we simply say, well, we've got to stick to our second Wednesday of every month, come heck or high water, and that's all we're going to be able to work with, it may be very difficult for us to meet all of these requirements. So,
can we get a just kind of a gut reaction individually on how that may or may not look for us individually? That have be more flexible? Let's start right here with Michael.
I can do that. I had thought should be meeting more than once a month as a committee anyway, because of all the things we have to do. But that idea didn't fly. But you know, I'm flexible.
Mark?
Heck, I'm retired.
Oh yeah.
What about your vacation schedule?
As long as it doesn't affect my vacation schedule, I'm okay. But
yeah,
yeah. Most of the time, if I have some lead time, I can work things out. It's everybody's got stuff on their plate. So you know, as long as it's not telling us tonight we're meeting tomorrow,
right?
I'd be okay.
Yeah. I hope that will never happen.
Well, and I'm retired. I was tired yesterday, and I'm tired again today.
That's a different kind of retired than his kind of retired.
Okay, as I was. No, and actually, to be perfectly honest with you, I agree with Mike. I think as these things kind of develop, really I think a lot of what we're doing right now is going to begin to inform the question that Gary's asked. It's one of those sort of double-edged swords, right? We want to know kind of what we want to, where we want to go, but we don't yet I feel we don't have yet enough really tangible information. I mean, right now without a divorce, we're stuck, right? Our fate's set, other than doing what we can do internally. But back to the scheduling thing, I think as long as we have enough notification, a week, 2 weeks for me, that's is plenty, unless I don't have other commitments. But yeah, I think we need. This calls for extraordinary circumstances and extraordinary effort, and it's going to take a big push.
Kyle?
I can be pretty flexible. So, yeah, I think I'm fine with that. I can see a few things that will probably be needing some extra meetings, and I'm available.
Jeffrey?
Agreed. If we have work to do, we should probably do some work.
Good soldier.
I think we're going to like this guy.
Knowing that there will be times where I may not be able to, but I think that's the case for any meeting for any one of us, that we need to bow out and just let the other group do their thing and then review the minutes or documents as needed on our own time. But that's kind of what I just signed up for.
Shannon?
For Jeff and Chris, who might not know the reference to divorce, I assume.
Growth boundary, right?
Yeah, the growth boundary issue. So Salem and Kaiser share an urban growth boundary. And we have ways that we may be able to, if that's the desire of the commission and the council, expand the urban growth boundary even
without a divorce between those two, between Salem and that. But that was one of the options. Springfield and Eugene did that legislatively. Most of you know that. This would not be legislative if that occurred. So that's what that reference was to.
Thank you.
Thank you. Crystal Wilson is not here tonight, so we will just assume that she concurs with the rest of our thoughts.
We'll send her a memo.
By default. And I'm in concurrence with the rest of the members of the panel, so I think we're good on that.
So we will make the commitment. We will try to give you as much notice as we possibly can, so that you can incorporate it into your schedules. And we, you know, just as tonight, Crystal had something that prevented her from being here. And so, yes, life does happen, and we understand that. So, okay, well, I am encouraged. I'm enthused. It's daunting, and sometimes I look at it all, and I'm thinking, how are we going to get it all done? So I am enthused at your commitment and your willingness to take on this load.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Lawyer.
So as it relates to the schedule, thank you, Mr. Chair, experience has told me that sometimes it's better to try to capture dates early, and I know that's kind of hard. If you can project out, based off of the scoping and everything else, what that looks like, we might be able to kind of get those things calendared now and then create the flexibility appropriately and then maybe, you know, release meetings that we don't necessarily need or adjust or do anything like that. I think that if we had something that we could see sort of in advance, it would maybe inform that a little better. And then we've already know, you know, we've got this scope for this time frame. We can already place the meeting in advance. So I think that's what you're anticipating anyways, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And just one other thing, sorry, Mr. Chair. One other thing I want to make sure you kind of have the right, our perspective. We are a very small department, and we kind of have daytime jobs. And what I mean by that is we have the In-N-Out burgers that come, and all of a sudden the world is in crisis, and et cetera. We have the housing stuff, which is... Some months it may not seem so intense on your end, and we may say time out on this month because we have all of our outreach, whatever we're doing. So we will try to be as upfront and as open as far as what we can get accomplished and what the calendar is going to be like. We were just on with a consultant today on the phone call, trying to nail down these dates and how that's going to roll out. So
so would a suitable alternative now then just be to establish two meeting dates a month and then release them as appropriate? Because we may not have something front-loaded at the beginning of the month that we necessarily need to dive into, but we might look at it and say, okay, well, it's going to be more ready towards the end of the month. And, I mean, I don't know. I'm just trying to build in as much flexibility as possible.
Hey, Matt. Excuse me. How about if we maybe let staff kind of chew on that and maybe send an email out in a few days after they have kind of time to look at this and see how it might best make a calendar rather than trying to get one right to. I appreciate what you're saying, but I think if we give them a chance to respond to this, it'll make it simpler and more comprehensive.
Thank you, Gary. That was kind of going to be my suggestion, just since we have our very first CAC meeting for our buildable lands inventory and housing needs analysis coming up just this next week. That's got a really compressed schedule because the way it's funded, it has to be done by June. So we have an outline on it, but it's kind of this fuzzy outline. We did lock down CAC dates on that, which you guys aren't part of the CAC formally, but we would really like your involvement with that as much as you're available to. So we can definitely get those dates figured out. The revitalization grant, I think we've had a different schedule maybe every single week so far. It's been a rough one just because there's a few moving parts. But I think that once we get through February, hopefully that's going to start to fall out a little bit more. So let me look at that because literally I got an email just a couple days ago that had a like four dates that were new, but I don't have the whole, our consultant's supposed to update the overall, the schedule plan. So once I get that, Matt, let me kind of look at it and see, because I think that's a great idea if we can kind of front load it and then we can, hey, bonus, no meeting this, you know, next week or whatever. I really like that idea, but I would not feel great about saying, hey, let's do 2 times a month, because it might be more like 3 times in the month of May, but only once in April or something like that, depending on how it's all kind of flowing, if that's okay with you guys.
Yeah. Do we have, is that okay for staff to come back to us on that? Okay. Thank you, Shane. So then, if we've got A and C done under 6, and then we look at B, which is the work task, a lot of these, I'm glad to see, are completed. There's a few ongoing. There's at least one not needed. But of the things we have left, have the members of the commission looked at this, and do you have any individual priorities on how you think we should attack this? Or has staff given sort of a priority of what's left or still needs to be done?
Yeah, so I can talk to that a little bit, Gary. We don't have a specific priority other than the grant work for both the housing needs analysis, buildable lands inventory, the revitalization plan grant that's ongoing. That's going to take precedent in our world. I am not the lawyer for the city, obviously. So sometimes when legislative amendments happen, we are told, hey, you have to do this by a time certain. Based on the legislative update that the Oregon Planning Group did back in December, I kind of looked through that and looked through the different LUBA cases on my own, and I didn't see anything that was hugely, you know, earth-shattering that said, oh, we're going to have to do certain things. Whereas, like, last year, we knew we had to do something with ADUs. We knew we might have to do something with affordable housing stuff, because there was specific bills that came out that said cities are going to have to do these things. So far this year, I'm not aware of any off of the top of my head or what I've done research-wise, but sometimes things come up and go, oh, and I get an email from that guy that says, Shane, you have to do this. So barring those kinds of priorities, which are kind of out of our control, as we've looked at it, you know, the list, I'll say good work for everybody who was on Planning Commission over the last year. We actually accomplished a lot more than it felt like. Sometimes it feels like we're spinning our wheels and we're getting yelled at a lot about signs, and that's all you can remember. But realistically, you guys did a lot of really good work getting things moved forward, and frankly, the low-hanging fruit where there was identified changes that needed to be made to my development code for me to do my day-to-day job, you guys did a really good job of getting through almost all of those, so it makes our lives easier in the office. So I applaud you for that. And so really, yeah, you kind of see there's a few things left over. You know, on the first page, the UT zone and the possibility of a legislative rezone, that's been there. There's nothing that's a huge priority with it. I think that we'll probably slide in a text amendment to the UT zone to clean up some of the language and to modernize it, because we're still referencing the fact that the northern plain of Kaiser doesn't have water service. You know, clearly it's almost all built out. So there's some things that need to be changed, but nothing that's being an obstruction to new development moving forward. But that will be kind of on the short list. If we have a month where we don't have a ton of work we need to do grant-wise, we'll probably tee that one up and bring it to you. The storm drainage ones, those have been on there, and the floodplain one, that's been on there for the last few years. Those are still hurry up and wait. With the floodplain ordinance specifically, it all just depends on what kind of works its way out through the court system. We were supposedly going to have to adopt a new floodplain standard back in 2017. Well, that got moved to 2018, and now it's been moved to 2019, and then the last thing I heard is that it may be 2020, because they haven't ironed out what that new standard is that we have to do yet, because it's still kind of held up being litigated. But if something drops out from DLCD on the floodplain stuff, that will get moved forward based on what their legislative timelines are for us adopting it. Other than that, though, Gary and the rest of you, the counselor or the commissioners, it really is going to be based on those prioritized needs of the grants that we're working on for that long-range planning information and that work. Now, one thing I would just add, you know, with the long-range stuff that we do, with all the grants that we're dealing with the housing needs analysis, the buildable lands inventory, and then we send you these emails with these 50-page documents that are heavy and dense, and nobody really wants to read them, including me. You know, if you guys get those things and you have questions on them, shoot me a call, send me an email. I will totally make up an answer. It may not be the right one, but I will do my best to be available. And we really do, and I think Nate said it and Gary did too, we really are looking for input from you all as well. If you see things that are like, hey, Shane, what about this? What is our rule on this? And could we change that rule? And what would that look like? You know, we're looking for guidance from you guys as the governing, you know, the body that's going to make those recommendations. And I think it's good to just, I'm not from a soapbox perspective, but, you know, obviously we don't live in a vacuum in Kaiser. We are part of a regional area, and, you know, City of Salem is embarking on a big comp plan update right now called Our Salem, and they're looking at some of the same kind of questions that we're answering. They have a little different perspective, but it's never a bad thing to kind of know what our neighbor to the south is doing too. So, you know, keep your eyes and ears open to the newspaper articles and the different things you see floating around the internet, because sometimes those things are, well, how does that affect us? Or should that affect us? Those are the kind of questions that we do need to kind of all be looking to ask. So with that, I don't know if you guys have any specific questions on the list, but I mean, really, there's the last little bullet point I added in there is kind of a catch-all. We have on the 15th, so Monday we have the CAC meeting for the updated buildable lands inventory and housing needs analysis. It's kind of the kickoff meeting for that, which will give us new numbers ultimately of what our projected need for the 20-year supply of housing is. On Tuesday, we have our third CAC meeting for the revitalization plan grant. I think it's the third one. And so in that group, which Michael's part of that group, we're looking at the basically there's three different draft memos that have come out from the consultant going through the process, looking at implementation strategies and code amendments that are possible to kind of make the vision happen. Things such as reducing setbacks and less parking and different landscaping standards, different building design, things like this. But so we have that. We have a multimodal transportation assessment that we're going to be looking at with the CAC for some alternative bike and pedestrian ways to get through town. And then we also have a public investments strategy document that I literally just got a clean copy of today. So for the CAC, that should be in their inboxes, so we can have lots of reading before next Tuesday. But that's, again, another piece of the puzzle that you as planning commissioners, even though you don't have a formalized role as part of the CAC, like, we would love for you guys to engage into a capacity of saying, hey, let's talk about this information. And it's, they're still public meetings. They're still open for comments and suggestions. And ultimately, we will be expecting that out of that process, we're going to be coming to you guys to give a recommendation on what you see as the right path forward on that project. So, I mean, for what it's worth, the more you can engage earlier on, it'll be a little easier when we come to you with this massive amount of documentation. So, that being said, I'm looking forward to this year. I was actually really impressed with how much you guys got done last year, because, you know, like I said, sometimes it doesn't always feel like we're accomplishing as much as we would like to. So,
yeah. Michael?
So are we able to make suggestions to add to this list? Because I have a...
Yeah.
One was, and I've talked to you, Shane, about this, and it was with regards to that new, or I guess rebuild, where the house burned down on Thorman, and can never remember the cross street, but mm-hmm. they weren't required to put a sidewalk in. Mm-hmm. So closing that loophole would be nice to keep getting more and more connectivity for walking infrastructure. The other one was I'd like to have us, as a commission, adopt the NACDO street standards. Right now, we don't necessarily refer to the AASHTO ones, but we seem to be modeled after it, at least part of it. So I'd like to work on that.
Okay. So how this should work is that should be direction from not an individual, but from the commission. So, Mr. Chair, I don't know how you want to...
Okay. I'm not... What did you call this?
The NACDO and the AASHTO?
Could you decipher that?
Yeah,
Sidewalks for Dummies, please.
NACDO is, I believe it's the North American City Transportation Officials versus AASHTO, which is the, I think, I don't know if it's the American Association of State Highway Transportation Officials. They have their, I think it's called the Green Book, which is a bunch of recommendations for street design and highway design. Obviously, streets and highways are different. Whereas, so the NACDO standards are specifically standards for streets that you'd have in urban areas. And so we would model our street designs based on that if we adopted that.
Okay. So just as I'm thinking through the... So our street standards live in our transportation... Well, they live in several places.
Mm-hmm.
But they're basically governed by the transportation system plan. And it's called the TSP, another acronym. So, sorry, Jeff.
I'm writing them down.
And ours was adopted in, I just looked today, ours was adopted in 2009. So, lo and behold, we are up on a decade. And that's generally when we can access grant monies to rewrite our TSP. So I might suggest that we kind of rephrase that to updating our TSP to include such things as these national standards.
Okay.
Is that fair enough?
Yeah.
Does that sound agreeable, amenable to everybody that we're talking out of the same book, if you would? As long as it doesn't, I mean, there's probably going to, maybe there's none. Maybe it won't alter the way, you know, new subdivisions all are put in today. It might not have any significant impact. It might have a lot, but if it's something that may need to be addressed. So is everybody okay to look at that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do we necessarily need to go to the specificity of the NACDO versus the AASHTO, or do we just want to have the conversation be that we want to look at the transportation, the TSP?
I think what Nate was saying is at this point it's looking at the TSP, or I don't know if it's out of revision.
And we can do a little bit of research and find out exactly, because I know Public Works is very conscious of the national standards, and I do believe they are very conscientious about it. But the other issue that you... when we had a fire that was rebuilt and there's no requirement because it was an existing home, that is a little bit different issue.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically a threshold as to when do we require street frontage improvements.
Right. So it's a hard one. Again, not a lawyer, so I mean, it makes it really tough. But generally speaking, whenever we exact right-of-way dedications or street frontage improvements, things like that, when I write findings for partitions or subdivisions, when land's being divided, we have to create basically a rational nexus for the amount of improvements we're requiring. Okay. And those have been
in
rough proportionality to the amount of improvements versus the impact that the development is providing. And we do a pretty good job of pushing the envelope whenever we can. It is very difficult. The Thorm one is a hard one, Michael, because it was in a neighborhood where there are no street improvements. So if it had been a holdout where there was curb gutter and walk and the street improvements were there and it was just a matter of putting in the sidewalks, that's generally standard fare. We do that all the time. But in this case...
Well, but we typically don't in this case where it was just reconstruction.
Right, thank you. Yes, I know. But it wasn't just because it was reconstruction. It was because the street itself is not improved. There's no curb gutter or walk. It was an old county turnpike section. And so to justify the street improvements, I have to look at a trip generation of the development. Mm-hmm. And since it was literally a like-for-like generation, there was no way to rationally require more improvements on that single-family development. So if they divided it and added additional units, we might have started to be able to make that argument that they could provide a portion of it. But that's one where it doesn't really matter what we do to change our code, because already we have some things in our code that say we're going to require it now. But ultimately, if I don't write findings that justify the rational nexus and the rough proportionality, those conditions could get thrown out. Even though they say it in my code, that it's a rule, it would be found to be kind of not consistent with the Supreme Court. So it's a hard one.
So if the commission wishes, I suggest that we could come back with some discussion material on where those balances are, what the courts have said about rough proportionality, and where we're bound, we can't go beyond those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. Let us, if the commission would like, let us come back at a future meeting with a discussion on those issues. Okay. Just what Shane's explaining.
Is that everybody got a head nod in favor of doing that?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. So of the list that's here, and I went through and kind of X'd out and marked out on these two pages, there's only four items here that are six, I guess, that aren't marked out, you know, that are still pending in some form. The TGM grant, transportation grant management, is that?
Growth.
Growth management, okay. That's ongoing, so this is being addressed.
Yep.
The urban transition and the legislative rezone of urban transition properties, that's still to be done. Maybe that's something that we could, I don't know how lengthy that's going to be, but maybe that's something that we could accomplish and sort of put that up here as let's get this done while we're working around the other activities that we have. And then we have efficiency measures, consider text amendments to various sections to give additional flexibility and density of, and that's ongoing. And that's part of what's going to come out of this buildable lands, right?
The revitalization. Sorry, the revitalization more than the buildable lands.
Okay. Okay.
I know.
And then multiple sections of the Kaiser Development Code and the comp plan?
Yes. And that will be, that'll be driven by, next Tuesday's meeting, our Memo 5, is basically a starting off point with our CAC to say, hey, these are the types of things we're looking at changing within our urban corridor, and along River Road, along Cherry Avenue, and they have some proposed changes citywide and zone-wide, and then they have some specific to the centers that they've identified. So it's going to be kind of a little bit of a process of a back and forth to truth out how much we want to do, and then ultimately it will result, when that project is done, whenever we get it done, it will result in a big stack of stuff that gets adopted. But in the interim, and one of the reasons the efficiency measures, the separate bullet was in there, that was in there from last year. We did a few of those things, like we just did ADUs here a couple months ago, updated it and revised it. But there's a handful of things that have been on staff's radar that we've been looking at and considering. And as kind of the pendulum shifts, there's a handful of things that we're still kind of considering teeing up for you guys to bring, regardless of the grant stuff for the efficiency measures. So, yeah.
So I think, does anybody have, like Michael had something he wants staff to be looking at. Is there anybody, anything else pop off anybody's mind or imagination or creative juices that they would like to throw in there? And maybe give it a look over the next year as we work through all these other things that are going to occupy a lot of our time? Mark?
It's not so much another idea, because depending on how you interpret some of these things, like the absolute last one, we talked about the multiple sections of the comp plan and KDC, that could be the next 4 years by itself.
Yeah.
But what I'm guessing is that we're going to take these as opportunities present themselves. The hard thing, being somewhat a linear thinker, I don't like to do things more than once if I can avoid it. And so I see that as being a failing mindset when I look at this, because it seems to me we're going to be doing some things and then we may have to readdress them 6 months from now or something when FEMA comes up with something, or the storm drain folks are getting their new permits, but they're dealing with that, not being able to do the planning stuff. So I guess what I'm asking is that as we go through this, if we could try to keep in mind not having to repeat ourselves or have to go visit. I'd rather put something off 6 months and do it once, and then do it next month, and then have known we're going to have to redo it. Sure. Because we're just decide, you know, we just wanted to pick this one because it's easy.
Absolutely, Mark. I hear you, and I concur. I also don't like to. I do not like that I've changed Section 3.202 four times in the last year because of little Scrivener errors, because of some other change. So yes, we are, and honestly, we're trying to kind of keep that in the back of our mind, and that's one of the reasons why we are putting like the floodplain and the storm drainage. We've just put them on just a straight up hold until those other entities are ready to move forward, and we will definitely do our best to not reinvent the wheel every other month, because I don't want to do it either. So I appreciate that, Mark.
Right.
So I think if we work with what's here and backing what Shane and Mark just said about more linear thinking, I think that's very beneficial. Although, you know, maybe we could do signs one more time this year just for practice. But that aside, let's try to keep this in a way as simple as it can, so we can make the maximum use of our time as a body, of staff's time and the resources. But this can be a really great time for us to really look at what we want to be. Not what we think we need to be or should be, but what we really want to be, and move in that direction. And the rest of this stuff will come across us. Some of what goes back to tedious and mundane stuff is what's on here, a good part of it, even though it's very important. But we have a chance to look to Kaiser's future, whether it be for our family, our kids, our grandkids, whoever it might be, because somebody's going to live with our results. And this is a great time for us as a body and moving forward to really make a positive impact on what our community can be. So are we good with item six? Okay. Christopher, put you on the spot. Youth liaison report. Has anybody told you what a youth liaison report's supposed to look like, feel like, or be?
No, I don't know. I haven't been informed of that.
Just tell us what's going on at McNary.
What's
at
CTEC?
Or at CTEC, yes.
What's going on with the anything?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. So
the bond. Anything that may
starting this summer? Oh yeah. There's some reconstruction. I think the bond was approved, right? So there's going to be some reconstruction going on at McNary.
June to the following, through the following summer.
Yeah. So I guess from June to the following summer, and they're going to be redoing what used to be an art room and is currently a videography studio area, and so that's really big. And CTEC just got some new programs. So,
thank you very much.
Any updates on the church property?
He probably doesn't.
Ask the attorney.
Yeah, not that I've heard specifically. I mean, what I know is what's been in the paper. So, I'm not privy to any other information than that. But they're proceeding as if it were a done deal. I do know that, but for planning purposes, they would have to do that anyway. So,
as far as land use goes, they are working. They're required to submit for a conditional use permit, so everybody gets nervous whenever there's any land use process that is engaged. And I would say that'd be a fair characterization, that they're nervous about the appeals and, you know, what may come out of that. But we are going to treat it like any other conditional use, and we will go through the process, and they will have their appeal rights, anybody. And as you know, they're still working on the acquisition of the property and how that, but I don't know if we know much more than what we've read in the paper on that aspect of it. So okay. And our attorney would probably not say a word.
Okay. Councillor Reed, Council Liaison report.
Well, we just swore in two councillors Monday, and our two new councillors Monday, and said goodbye to Councillor Anderson and Councillor Ryan. And so we're just looking forward to a year that has lots of projects and lots of work to do. And we've talked about some long and short-term goals and sort of reviewed those. That's something that we did towards the end of the year, and nothing majorly added to our extant goals, but just looking forward to a good, productive year.
Okay. Thank you very much. Matthew Lawyer, are you able to be the council representative on the 21st?
I am, Mr. Chair, and if I...
Oh.
Your agenda must be an old one.
Yeah. I have so many, I'm not sure which one I brought. Okay.
Six or one. So,
21st is a holiday.
Okay, thank you.
I'd also offer to Jeff, if he wants to come, just to kind of see how that goes. And I'm sure there's much better opportunities to watch somebody else do it, but since it's a early one, he's okay. More welcome to come.
Also. Yes, ma'am.
Just in case you hadn't heard, Councillor Freeman is the official liaison to the Planning Commission. I'm here as a substitute, so that those assignments were also made on Monday. But I am part of the BLIHNA, woohoo! So I will be there on Monday for that. So anyway, that just so you know.
Okay. The meeting that's Monday the 14th at 6 o'clock, like... Staff has recommended it would be really, I think, benefit us to be there because we all hear things in our own ways. And the committee is a citizens committee, most of whom have not been engaged very much. So we might hear some fresh thoughts, some fresh ideas, or a new way of presenting something. So I think it would benefit us to hear it live as much as we can, as well as reading whatever printed material comes out of that. So I would encourage us to make ourselves available as best we can. There will be a series of these as well as the other meetings. So I think it will make us a stronger body by availing ourselves of those opportunities. So.
And it is going to be an iterative process. In other words, it's not like some quasi-judicial hearing. It is, if you see something in there that you say, you know what, that needs to be clarified, or that need, give us a call, and we will, you know, we will put that into the machine. It really is a process that is open for comment and input. So please feel free to give us a call.
Okay. One of my last comments is going to be that I met with Jeffrey at Starbucks a couple of weeks ago. And at the end of our conversation, I said, are you a Jeffrey or a Jeff? And he said, generally, he's Jeffrey. And I've been more guilty than anybody of calling him Jeff, but the preference is Jeffrey, although he's not going to go to war over it, but I just would like to kind of respect that. Since
for the purposes of efficiency, Jeff does take a little bit less time to say. And
okay,
you know, we're all going to be busy, so
yeah. Okay, I just wanted to acknowledge that that was a preference because I have a name that I don't use and nobody even knows.
Oh yeah.
No, it's not a challenge. And it cannot be found anywhere in the United States of America. So, is there anything else to come before the commission tonight? Okay, then at 7 o'clock, we are adjourned.